Department of Behavioral Health Access and Referral Unit. Your call is very important to us. If this is a medical emergency, please dial 911. To continue in English, please press 1. Usted se ha comunicado. Thank you for calling the Access Unit with the County of San Bernardino Department of Behavioral Health. My name is Monica. Can I get your first name, please?
Hi, Monica. I'll give you my full name. My full name is James Martin Driscoll. Hello?
Can you spell your last name for me, please?
Yes, D-R-I-S-K-I-L-L.
Are you calling regarding yourself or for someone else?
I have a history with your department from 2017. I'm trying to bring that into awareness that Dr. Kelly, that's Veronica Kelly, was on Twitter earlier. And she was talking about suicide. She posted a tweet on suicide. I responded. And then I carried over to Facebook. And I'm on Facebook. And the person who is on the other end of this Facebook blocks me when I say, can I have a human chat here? The person is not available. She blocked me right there. And I said, can I have a human chat here? Are you there?
Yes, I'm listening.
Okay, so I started on Twitter. I moved over to Facebook. I have a Facebook Messenger, you know, details a little thing. And I said, can I have a human chat here? And she obviously, or he or she, put it in block mode. She can't block me. You are a public official, people. You are a public official. You cannot block social media. It's against my rights. You are violating my rights, and I'm going to pursue a lawsuit. Get your person on the other end of that Facebook right now and tell her to unblock it and can carry on a conversation with me, please.
Okay, sir, where are you located?
San Bernardino.
Okay. In case we get disconnected, what is the best callback number I can call you back at?
909-763-8481. Uh-huh. Want me to repeat that?
No, I have 909-763-8481.
And your name is Monica?
Correct.
Could you please put a CC to attach this to, I guess she's one of your staff members. That's Veronica Kelly, Dr. Veronica Kelly.
Okay, James, I'm going to place in a brief hold. I'm going to connect you over to my supervisor, okay?
Okay, so I'm trying to put all the pieces together here.
Okay, so that's why I'm going to go ahead and transfer you to supervisor, sir. Okay, one moment, please.
Thank you. The med score? Call recording here. Dr. Veronica Kelly, when did she do this? Like 2 hours ago. Asking the question, are you thinking about suicide, communicates that you're open to talking about suicide in a non-judgmental and supportive way. Suicide is preventable. Hashtag be the one to STO. Hashtag suicide prevention. And a orange ribbon. And it's also put the county Department of Behavioral Health is tagged to it. She posted at 6:56 a.m. September 9th, 2020. Today is September 9th at 10:17 a.m., a couple hours ago. Thank you. Yes.
Hi, thank you for holding. I have my supervisor, Bruce, on the line who will be able to assist you further. Go ahead, please.
Bruce, hold on. Let me get my page so I can read the screen here for a second.
Oh, certainly.
It said that Dr. Veronica Kelly was a mental health director at the Department of Behavioral Health. She's her behavioral health director, San Bernardino County, is what she says in her profile. So I'm just putting that for the record. Hi, Bruce.
Okay.
My name is James Martin Driscoll.
Okay, James, how can I help you?
This is multifaceted, so I can start in one spot and then I can move over or whatever. I am in San Bernardino. I'm here in San Bernardino at my home, my mom's home. This home has been here since I was age 5. I'm now 55. My birthday was September 1st, which is the other day. I arrived back in town here to this house in July of 2017, and I go over to the behavioral health, and I had a consult with Dr. Berger, Dr. Christopher Berger, and that completely failed. I have it documented. If you heard me, I have it documented to why it failed. Today, Dr. Veronica Kelly tweeted at 6:56 a.m. today, asking the question, "Are you thinking about suicide?" communicates that you're open to talking about suicide in a non-judgmental and supportive way. Suicide is preventable. Hashtag be the one TO, that's be the one TO, and then hashtag suicide prevention, and there's an orange ribbon. I don't know if an orange ribbon has anything to do with suicide. If you know. Okay. Now, I just encapsulated two different things, history and current. I went over to behavioral health the health department recently, and I was inquiring about Dr. Berger, and I was told he's no longer working there. Is that true?
I can't speak to personnel issues, but okay, I believe that's correct.
I didn't know if there was a way to recapture what has happened with Dr. Berger and everything. I am a targeted individual of gang stalking. Gang stalking is defined in a National Institutes of Health Directive paper on site at NIH.gov. The fact that there is now a paper that has been published as of April 6, 2020. My doctor, I have had no HIV care doctor since March of 2019. He terminated care when I bring all of these subjects forward, just like Dr. Berger, just like everybody. They terminate my services. They terminate my communications. Now, on Facebook, just a minute ago, as a public official, as the public record, you cannot block social media just because you don't like the point of view of the citizen. Well, guess what? My messenger is blocked because it's too much of the truth. And I'm going to show you, I'm going to describe to you what it says. I'm going to have a post here. So, you are following me. Do you have anything to say? I said. And she didn't say I have anything to say. And I said, I am not piecemealing it out to you. The web domain of documentation is available public on Twitter, which is in the Twitter thread to Dr. Kelly. My experiences with your operations are all placed there in the real time of events, and it represents the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I put the link in the messenger here. http://webdomains.fuckedhuman.net/dbh.sbcounty.gov. By the way, it continues, on LinkedIn, there are, that's the number one professional social media platform, there are actual and operation company names, profiles with the word fuck in them. That's in quotes. Such examples include, but not limited to, fuck cancer, I misspelled it, fuck yeah astrophysics, fuck racism, and fucked up design. Of course, these have corresponding web presence. And then there's a link because it shows you the link to the preview for the link that I provided. If you go into that folder, there's a history from my experiences. And then I continue. Such as http://fuckcancer.org, a 501c nonprofit, etc. As following my name is just an excited example of fucked up design, my internet domain, fuckeduphuman.net, is just an extension of the standard that is found on LinkedIn. You must accept this domain, or fuck you, I say, for being fake. I got my attitude here. One last piece of this, and I'll leave you to your own devices to reach to conclusion I hold. You all are a bunch of liars. Prove it to me otherwise. Do something right for a change. And then the preview is showing the fuckcancer.org page in Fake Messenger. And I continue. The Science of Squaring, Discovery Magazine, and then there's an article on Discovery Magazine, Health, worried about your foul mouth swearing could be actually good for you. You are left with no options but to bust this hate scheme and remove its presence that allows the haters to always win, intentionally always win. Time for something new. And it shows you the page from the Discovery. Worried about swearing too much? Science says you shouldn't be. People who swear like a sailor are more honest and more intelligent, studies show. It's an article from January 2020. And I continue to write, or fuck you people who have allowed this to go on and on and on and on without stepping in your moral agency. Get with it now. Hashtag here for you now, which is an actual mental health awareness campaign of the past. Where are you? Where are you? The pointer for the person on the other end is showing right there. Red pointer on my screen. Let's see what it says. Come on. Anyway, she did not respond. Say, where are you there? Seen by San Bernardino County Department of Behavioral Health at 10:10 a.m. And she didn't respond. She blocked me. Can you have a human chat here, I say. And it says this person isn't available right now. Now, this call is being recorded, and I'm going to put it into the record, sir. What was your name again?
My name is Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce. Hi, Bruce. Can I get your last name, please?
Certainly. Cook.
Bruce Cook. Do you have some profile information about you online? Like your email address or anything like that?
No, I do not.
Okay. Would you like to please... I don't want to have it on this call recording. Would you please call my landline so it's off the record and give me up contact information so I can follow up with some digital content to you, sir? You ready for a phone?
No, I don't know I don't know that's important right now. I'm happy to call you on another line if you would like.
No, I want to be able. I want you to be free to openly exchange a contact with me and not have to deal with the call recording. That's what I'm providing to you. If you're not going to do that, then there's no reason to provide another number right now.
Okay, then there's no reason to provide another number right now.
Okay, then I need your number, the number that I called. Is the number that is on the Facebook profile. It was an 888 number. Is that the number to contact you again?
It is.
Okay, then, Bruce, Cook, we have an exchange here. I'm very upset. I'm upset at the person right here that blocked me when legally you can't block people on social media. This is so ridiculous. Humana has blocked me. Everybody's blocked me. Because I have the truth, sir. And I would like to be able to bring that truth forward into view of the NIH.
What truth are you talking about?
The truth that I am gang-stalked and that any attempt to bring this forward results in the person on the other end of this to cut the communication away instead of moving forward. How can we clarify our position is not a part of this conspiracy when you guys don't talk, when you keep silent? Silence is bliss.
What gang is stalking you? Can you explain that to me, please?
I'm going to do that right now. NIH.gov, there is a paper that is on the NIH.gov repository of health-related documents. It's published on April 6, 2020, The Feminology of Group Stalking, Gang Stalking, a Content Analysis of Subjective Experiences. Its content is authored by Lorraine Sheraton, David V. James, and Jaden Ross. The tags for this are Feminology, Stalking, Gang Stalking, Group Stalking, Prevalence, and Psychological, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, SEQUELAE. This is a health, mental health related document. It has to be brought forward into view, and I'm going to bring the conclusion into this call. It's section 3, results. 3.1, length of stalking. None of the writers of the narratives describe their experiences as having ended. All 50 authors stated or implied that they have been gang stalked for lengthy periods of time. E.g., one mentioned being seen by 7 psychologists during a period of being targeted. Another described having been targeted while living in 3 different countries. The shortest case was described as being begun in the last few months, and the longest as continuing for more than 22 years, sir. Mine has been going on for 15 years. I have been a targeted individual of what this paper describes. Yeah, I can answer you, or you can go online and put this into your frame of reference, but I can't do that. I can't share it to you because you are refusing to accept digital content and digital communications from me, sir. So that is unfair. I don't have an email address. I have no way to share this to you except for this call. And that is not right, sir. So would you promise me that you'll go on to the NIH.gov and get this paper and read it?
I'll be happy to do that. Also, if you'd like to put your information together and mail it to the Department of Behavioral Health and address it to my name, I would be happy to go ahead and review it.
Okay. What I need to get an authority into this document so then I can go to the police department. They stole my car a few months ago from here. I cannot be online. What happens is the best way to describe this is if I am online and I have visibility online, there are people in the community that coalesce and start talking among themselves. They form a coalition. And then they start an activity as a group mind of individually, they're now acting as a group. That's what it's talking about. And they start attacking. They start harassing me. They start interfering with my life. They start doing things. They stole my car. It all goes on and on and on. Going on for 15 years. It travels with
me. That's going to be pretty scary.
It is. It is very scary. And I've been trying to describe this process to all of my doctors, all of my healthcare, everybody, nobody, not one of you guys have got it. The paper now explains it.
I'm looking at the paper as we speak.
Thank you. Now, t- take that I have a spoken. Hold on, sir.
I'm sorry.
Take that I have a spoken voice narrative file for that paper in the following location: webdomains.realuphuman.net/nih.gov. There's an audio file for that paper in there, so you can, if you want,
okay.
You can play it if you want. Did you understand what I just said?
Oh, no, I'm good. No, I did. I got part of that. I didn't get the entire address. Can you give that to me, please, again?
It's webdomains.realuphuman.net. That's realuphuman.net. And if you go there, there's a bunch of web domains if you want to look through.
Okay.
And one of them is nih.gov. Now, on its flip side, sir, is webdomains.fuckedhuman.net. That's pronounced in English, fuckeduphuman.net. And there's a directory for you guys in there that has content directly related to my experiences when I got into town here in July of 2017. Not one of you have been professional, sir. I'm not pulling it on you specifically. Not one of you have been professional in my care. Not one of you have done the right thing. And you've left me with no care. Absolutely all of my care has been on threads and have been scattered. I have no HIV care. None of you have been professional, sir. None of you.
Well,
I need to have that reversed immediately.
Okay, well, firstly, the Department of Behavioral Health doesn't do HIV care.
Sir, I understand that. I understand that. But what you need to do first is start somewhere. Understanding this document, and maybe writing me a health directive that I can take it to the necessary places that bring this conversation into view, and I can continue on. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well,
some sort of authority of a letter that I can bring and start a conversation with people that begins to unravel this. That's what I really need.
Have you been into the Department of Behavioral Health to be assessed?
What I have, sir, is I need everybody to be honest and come to the table and rationalize and have a discussion with me. Once I have a discussion with you, I can have a resolution to this, and I will be fine.
And what would a resolution look like?
Number one, having a conversation.
What would your resolution look like?
Number one, having a communication with a person by the name of Bruce Cook that realizes I'm telling the truth. Having that
conversation that I'm telling the truth.
Having that assessment that I'm the one telling the truth is one resolution. That I'm not full of bullshit. I'm not lying. I'm not trying to get something over on all you people. That all has to be inverse. I have to see it for myself, to calm down to a point of view that we can then move forward into a, what is called a true grit. That's John Wayne movie, True Grit. A true grit conversation that holds from that point into the next day and in the next week and the next month, that what I said in that conversation or what we said in that conversation holds. That's the next resolution, and progressively stepping up a ladder of trust is all I need to get something accomplished. That's what I need. Does it make sense?
Well, sort of. I would ask the question then, okay? Stepping up the ladder to do what? You said to get something accomplished. I'm not sure what something is.
Well, my answer to you, sir, Bruce, is to read the document, to get into your mind what it is I'm fighting outside of all you guys. that I've been fighting for 15 years with no resolution because none of you have been listening to what it is I've been saying. You all have been treating me like a mental case. And I have bipolar disorder. My current psychiatrist and mental health is at Inland Psych, Dr. Faruqi, and he believed me. He took what I said before the document was on the record. He took what I said. He believed me. So that started the... But he wouldn't do anything about it. He wouldn't start to interface with the outside world. The police. Anybody else. And get it stopped. Get it somehow controlled. Get it somehow defined in my own life so I can have some tools, coping tools, but have some tools to be able to make some corrections, sir. This is so stupid. If I or anyone else in the world went on social media and threatened the President of the United States, the Secret Service would be there in next day or two and take care of it immediately. There would first defense, sir. The first defense, they'd be out there. You know what I'm talking about. Well, if they can do that, and I have another thing. Do you know what CRISPR is? That's the DNA sequencing protein that they can clip out DNA and do all that stuff. If we have that science, and then I found some technology about a contact lens, you know, in the eye, which is an actual screen that you're watching. If we have that that we can do, correcting and controlling gang stalking, we have to read the paper, it's not that complicated. We just have to cooperate all together for a common goal. And that's all we need. I can't do it by myself. And I'm sick and tired of trying to get everything into view immediately before the motherfucking people on the other end of the Facebook exchange, which has no right to block me, blocks me, sir. That's my problem. You guys don't do it. You can't block a conversation for no reason. I have to rush it to get as much content into it before it gets blocked because it's ultimately predictable. The person on the other end of that is violating my rights. They have no right to block the conversation. No justification. So I have them rush, and then, of course, blocked. Where does that lead?
And that's going to be very frustrating.
Yeah, so I get as much content into the view, and it sticks, by the way. I can take the messenger content, which is an HTML coded, you know, display screen on my end. I can do a Control S, save. There's two formats you can save. You can save in the MHTML format. If you put that file on the web, when you open it on the web, it comes up in code, if you're aware. But if you save the HTML as a source code, and then take it and put it onto, like, my domains, you can actually open the page off the web as a static representation of the page, and it can be operated just like from any person's view, the content that is in that page, because it's captured, sir. I can show you an example of that. But once again, it would be nice to have an actual exchange with you, sir. Because you're a man and I'm a man, and this is my equation here. The standard here is what is good for the goose is good for the gander. If you all can offer your web domain as an interface to patients or clients or community, then I can do the same and offer it back to you guys. But you have to remove your hidden wall that you have established in this call. You have established what is called an informational quarantine against me from being able to share to you digital media. And that is against the Universal, the UN, the United Nations Universal Declaration of My Human Rights, Article 19. You can look it up yourself, sir. You are directly, violating my rights to be able to share on any medium in any frontier, to be able to have an opinion and to seek and receive and impart that information upon our informational technology today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year, or next decade. Today. And you are doing that right now. You don't realize it. I'm not faulting you. But it's Article 19 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. By not offering me a digital connection so I can share with you the real world of 2020 right here and now and get over yourself for not having to not being able to share an email address or some other method. I heard what you said. Go down to and do it the old way and waste a bunch of paper, sir. Spare the trees, I thought we were going to do a long time ago. And all this paperless office stuff. Basically, you're saying to me that none of that is true. Paperless office doesn't count. Digital documents don't count. That I have to resort to a standard below that to get it into your care, sir. That's bullshit. I'm sorry, that's bullshit. Now I'm a little critical of you. I don't want to get you pissed off, but that's bullshit. James Martin Driscoll, I was born here in San Bernardino. My first job, sir, Bruce Cook, was working for the San Bernardino Public Library. I was actually at the old library on 4th Street. I don't know how much you have been here in town. But when I was 18, I programmed for the library the desk manager that ran the CoSan Computer Center on the second floor of the new library. I personally put the project together with Norma Lamson, and I'm responsible for that, sir. When I was 18,
that's quite a task.
I'm now 55. When is the standard going to change that you can accept digital documents from me? Signed, by the way, if I wanted to sign something digitally. When I was at in Denver, they converted everything to digital documents right there at the counter. You had to look at the counter and the screen there and sign digitally on all your documents. That is a standard in Denver. You're wrong, sir, to make it seem like I have to go down there with some papers for you to receive my stuff, whatever it is. That's wrong. So I'm going to call you wrong. Like I said, I'm more than what you think. And I think that I'm not truly offended you, but I don't want to have any more excuses, bullshit, or anything in my way. It should be gone. Completely lost. And apologized. Apologies for all of this stuff that has happened to me for the last 3 years. Dr. Berger. Everything. The whole nine. A big, huge community apology needs to happen, sir.
Uh-huh.
It's not right to treat a person in the community this way.
Are you wanting to file a grievance over this?
No, I'm not willing to file a grievance. I don't want. If I have to go there, I'm going to the FBI and I'm going to pursue the U.S. Code, the U.S. Section 18, or the Title 18, Section 242 and 241 and 242, conspiracy against rights and color of law. The color of law is where your policy that you just described is gone. It addresses that. Color of law means you cannot have a law or any cultural observance that violates the rights of others. That's what the. If you do, you're guilty of conspiracy. And I have it on my door right here. I'm over here. You 18 U.S. Code, Section 241, conspiracy against rights. If two or more persons conspire to injure, oppress, threaten, or intimidate any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district in the free exercise or enjoyment of any right or privilege secured to him by the Constitution or laws of the United States, or because of his having so exercised the same, that means being online, being in the presence of online, they shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both. And if death results from the acts committed in violation of this section, or if such acts include kidnapping or the attempt to kidnap, aggravated sexual abuse, or any attempt to commit aggravated sexual abuse or attempt to kill, they shall be fined under this title or imprisoned for any term of years or for life or both, or may be sentenced to death. I didn't write it. It was written in the 40s. I don't know the full history. I was only following orders. You know, the war trials of the Germans. I was just following orders. That's, you know, that's the result of that, is those two things. The color of law. Those were enacted in the 40s, late 40s, 45 or whatever. Those are in result, direct result of the war tribunals of the Germans and, you know, Nazi Germany, and their excuse, I was following orders. That was not an excuse. Obviously, they were guilty. And anybody following that today is following that same mindset and are guilty, sir. And I'm going to follow through because I'm not going to be here in this town any much longer, because they're here. I can't go anywhere without thinking they're following me, because they are, sir. They are. They stole my car.
Who's following you?
You'll have to read the document, sir. If you do not just take that understanding, I can't, with my limited interface to the internet, you know, at my level, without having a police level, I can't identify these people. It says that in the document. It says very specifically, gang stalking is not the same as single stalking. Single stalking is not the same as gang stalking. If I went down to the police right now, they would treat it as a stalking case. It describes that in the very introduction to that. That's the problem here. You have to address this document, sir, into the criminal offense, which is a criminal offense, and have it controlled by way of technological artifacts, you know, from the process to which we can do that. Technologically, we can do that. But not if they don't see this document in view of what is happening in my case. And they've gotten bold. This started in Oakland. You know, my registration of my domain is quite strong. Fuckeduphuman.net is in direct relation to this, sir. It started when I was in Oakland, and it travels with me. It's just, by the way, there are other people who are online that was the same thing, obviously. That's the documents.
How long were you in Oakland?
I moved in Oakland to Oakland in 1987. I got a job working for a plumbing contractor, and that went all the way up to my termination. Okay. Bruce Cook, I want you to really think about something for a minute. The answer to your question is online. The location for that is found in the following URL. http://barackobama.fuckeduphuman.net. The reason is because he approved the second running of the Ryan White Care Act. He approved it in the signing, where he is partially.
I'm sorry, the second writing of what?
The Ryan White Care Act. The extension for the Ryan White Care Act. He's the one who signed it. you know, the Ryan White characters from the 90s, right?
Okay.
And when, under Obama, the reauthorization of the Ryan White Care Act was signed by Obama. So, in the process that I addressed this online, it's BarackObama.fuckeduphuman.net. That's a place on the web that describes that where my how I got infected with HIV. I was in a codependency relationship with my boss. I was there for quite a long time, from 86 to 99. And the whole thing is online. I'm not going to say it, you know, the better way is just realize that there's an alternative means to have such a presentation than to obviously insult the President of the United States of America. It says, "Forgive me truly, Barack Obama." It starts immediately with that. It's about describing why I'm HIV infected. For the reason why I'm HIV infected is because I was in a codependency with my employer. And that's the truth.
Okay.
And I quit when he threatened to fire me.
When did you find out you were HIV positive?
What? I didn't hear you. Sir, I didn't hear you.
Okay.
I still didn't hear you again. What?
I'm sorry. I asked, when did you find out you were HIV positive?
I tested positive. I quit in April of 1999. Their computer crashed, and I went back to save them. I then quit again in July, and I tested. And in that period of time between April and July is when I most likely was infected to the restoral of their data crash, and I tested positive in September when I didn't have a job. I had a job. I was working for a temp agency. I had been with a small plumbing company. The owner did not know everything that I was doing, basically, you know, just shortcutting everything, and I didn't have what is called documentation for everything that I did, and he just... You know, one day he said to me, because we were talking about the insurance on Chabot Observatory, if you know Oakland, the observatory that was up there on the hill, we put the fire sprinkler system and the plumbing. It was a plumbing contractor. And he himself was, and our company was on the job without a contract for 3 months, working without a contract. While he, that's my boss, designing fire sprinklers with an observatory, you know, it's a curved dome theater and dome, you know, the fire sprinklers and all under all of that was extremely hard for him. And so, all the angles and all that stuff. So that's what pretty much delayed it. And then when I came, it came around for me to get the insurance on a job that had been on for 3 years, or three, excuse me, 3 months. I made sure everything was right. I was their computer and financial operations controller, is what my job was. And basically, I told them everything's fine. You know, as far as I know, if you have any questions, you should call the insurance agent. And what his response to me was, and I had felt it for the last year or so, you know, this invisible attitude. He told me if I ever tell him what to do, it is my job ever again, he's going to fire me. That was in April 6th. April. I don't know exactly.
Sorry, April 6th of when?
I'm not sure the actual. 1999. It was actual. It was one of those dates. It was, and I said, "No, I'm quitting. I quit. I totally quit." And what I wanted to do when I quit is I wanted to log into my account and terminate my account because my account, my user account, not my administration account, but I had bumped up, of course, like anybody else would, all of my privileges. You know, under my user account, because I didn't want to have to keep switching back and forth, obviously. So that's what I did. I wanted to, deactivate my account so that it couldn't be used. It was still logged in. And he got all upset. I said, okay, I left it. You know, I said, oh, you're right. It's his, this argument of who's got the rights. So I left it open. And I went home, you know, I'm done. And this is so stupid. They apparently did not know what they were doing. So I got a call about 10 days later from the office person, not my boss. He didn't have the guts. This is a Unix system. I don't know if you know about Unix systems, but they had restarted a file system on top of it. You know, what they did is they ran one of my utilities the way they shouldn't, because it had the privileges that if I was able to log out, I wouldn't have been able to do what they did. But I wasn't able to perform that function. So they crashed the file system, which is no problem. On Unix, you can crash the whole hard drive. As long as the power is still up in the kernel, you can actually, you know, internally replace the hard drive while the system is still running and all the users are still logged in, and then just restart it and everybody's fine. You know that, right, on Unix? Okay, so that didn't happen. They went into panic mode. They turned it off. So they called me up, and I got there, and I realized not exactly what had happened, but immediately turned off the power to the computer, and I asked, this is really, really silly, but in this 10-day period, they overwrote my backups. They put backups with blank directories. I don't know how they did that. So none of the data was currently backed up. I had to find a 9-month-old backup to restore the system on.
So did it corrupt what you'd already done?
You don't know me very well. You know what redundancy is, right? You know what RAID is?
Yeah,
the actual RAID is a process to which you have multiple drives writing. That didn't exist then. I had multiple copies of all the data across the hard drive. So I knew I was protected. I knew it was, as far as I will find it if necessary. I know it's there. There was four copies of everything running daily. So I knew it was there. Stop it, and then had a company they picked to scan the drive. That company did not find the data. I had to find a 9-month-old backup to push onto the system and get it all running. This is when I got infected in all of this process. I did it. I was successful. But I'd never done it before in my entire life. I knew the steps to do. It's called prepared for the worst at all the times that you're learning how to do computer science stuff, sir, at the time. I'm 55 now. We didn't have tools like we have today to scan the hard drive and nothing. None of those tools exist like now. You do your operations because that's the way you're told to do it when you go to school. Save your work regularly. You do all these are natural things that come a part of the way I, at the time, did things. I had multiple copies of everything on the hard drive. The hard drive was fine. They just started a new file system. So what they did was they corrupted the boot track and anything further into it. And I knew that I was protected. They didn't know I knew. They didn't know that what I had done. It wasn't important, but I knew it was on. I knew it was on there. I knew it was okay. I know it's there. I'll find it myself if I have to. Scan the drive. Manually. But their company they picked didn't find the data. I went online and found a company that found the data. This whole process took a month and a half. And then you have a month and a half of data that has to be then reapplied and reprocessed onto the system after, understand the process, right? To get it all current. Success! I was everything fine. And guess what? My boss starts to attitude again, and I immediately quit again. It was July. And I had enough, and I hadn't been back, in a way. But I had my disability payments that I had, when I negotiated with my boss at the time to come back to work. I shouldn't come back. I should not have made that choice. He was not looking at me in the eye when we were talking. I said, look at me in the eye. You'll have him talking with me. So I should have walked out then. It was that period when I negotiated with my boss to come back. I should have never done. I would not have gotten out of control in my offside activities, not related to work. And that's what happened.
So did that cause you other trouble or what?
Well, sir, do you realize when you are spending most of your time, days at a time at work, sleeping at work to watch the damn thing to make sure it processes and does what you need? Because none of these tools, there's no such tools. Remember, there's no tools that are going to give you success results. You have to physically watch it. And then, of course, sex is a basic human need, we know, right? So all of that, it crashes all together. And I was fine up until the system crashed, and my lifestyle that just was out of reference. And I'm positive because of that. I know how I got positive for being careless, having sex with men, but that's not a reason to now take away because social services and everybody classifies us when we get signed up to social services as part of the innocent or the dirty. And I can prove all of this, sir. All you have to do is go on to Glassdoor. You know what Glassdoor is? Look up the Ryan White Care Act agencies for a multitude of agencies, one of which is in Colorado. Or better yet, go to my change.org petition that I put together that the HIV director at the CDC, Dr. Jonathan Merman, is involved in a hate conspiracy cover-up. This is very simple, sir. If you do nothing more than this, sir. CDC.fuckeduphuman.net. It goes and redirects to a change.org petition. I have a presentation there. Yes. No one from community has come to the table and had an honest discussion with me, sir. You're still withdrawing. You're still saying, you don't have to do this. Yes, you do. Because none of you have done it right. We now have a coronavirus pandemic, and we all know what's going on with all that stuff. And in HIV, it's kind of untrusting. You just have to go and understand. I have all of my doctors and all of my story copied onto npino.com, which is the NPI license and provider information for doctors and nurses and everything. And apparently case managers. And there's a discuss interface toolkit for discuss, which is a Facebook interface. And I have commented the record everywhere. And if you're a doctor, if you are a doctor, I don't know yet, your name will be Bruce Cook. And I can go to npino.com, and you'll have an NPI record there, if you have it or not, I don't ask. And if you do have one, I will be able to comment onto your record, sir, if that's what you want me to do, instead of providing me with an email address.
Well, sir, on that note, I'm going to go ahead and go now, because consider that as a threat, okay?
That's not a threat, sir. That's not a threat, sir. If you think that's a threat, then you have something to hide, sir.
Okay.
I didn't threaten anything. I only document the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, sir. Because you're not...